Round of applause, it's your big night, you've been waiting for this. You got your dress picked, your shoes right, your jewelry flawless. New names in your call list, thought I'd never know all this. Took a risk just to play that role, must have took a whole lot of courage. Damn, sure know how to work a room. Baby, ooh, you a star. Then make it home right for dinner time. Where'd you study at, Juilliard? You so gifted, no audition. Must be chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Don't be so shocked now, you earned it. Can't even speak, you so nervous. Had your speech ready, your girl set. The back you like a chorus. Chorus, alibis, just a noble lie. Ain't no need to apologize. Go ahead, baby, accept that shit. And look, this whole thing's televised.
Just so thankful.
I'm just so thankful you done got caught. For that jewelry maker was caught. Cue that rapper music, cut it short. No audition, you so gifted. Heard you chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name.
It's crazy.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
Yo, what's good, it's your boy Hollywood. This is Hollywood and Friends. Thank you for tuning in, however you're tuning in. I appreciate you. Be sure to follow me on social media at I Am Hollywood, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all that good stuff. And follow my producer Stacy over here at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see me, if you want to see us and not just hear us, you can hit up YouTube.com/HamptonBlue. Check us out, subscribe and all that good stuff. If it's your first time tuning in, welcome. Appreciate you for listening. What we get into over here is the things that's hot in the blogs for this week and give our take on it, you know, and it may not be in the most politically correct way at times. So if you're into that type of stuff, you're in the right spot. I'm going to tell you what we're going to be talking about for this week. Beyonce is back in the blogs this week. She revealed the album cover for her new album, Cowboy Carter, that's dropping next week. And she gave a little insight on the creation of the album and where it stemmed from. And that was an experience she had where she felt she was unwelcome. And it ties back to the CMA Awards back in 2016. We're going to get into that. What else are we talking about? Carly Russell. I'm sure you remember this story of the young lady who was found to have lied about being kidnapped after she said she seen a baby walking along the side of the road, and then she was missing for a few days, and then they found her in the woods somewhere with some snacks. It was this whole situation. She was facing jail time, and the judge just ruled that she won't have to do jail time after all. We're going to chop it up about that. What else are we talking about? Monica calls out Ray J for speaking on her in public a little too much. And this has to do with Brandy. This has to do with a tour Ray J's trying to get them to do together. I'm gonna chop it up about that. What else are we talking about? This Alabama governor that has signed a bill to restrict diversity, inclusion, and equality in schools, DEI, in other words. And it's not just in schools, it's in like government. There's a lot of places that they're trying to block having this DEI. And what does it mean exactly? I think they're trying to take us back. They're trying to erase history at the end of the day. We're going to chop it up about that. Also, keeping in the politics realm, we're talking about the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who may be season 45, AKA the last guy who was in the White House, AKA Trump. She may be seizing his assets to get this money that he was found guilty of fraud and ordered to pay over 400 some odd million dollars. And your man's ain't paying it yet. And she was just granted the right to be able to seize his assets. So we're going to chop it up about that. And Candace Owens, she's going to be a part of my What Blows Mind a little bit later in the show and her interview she did on The Breakfast Club. But yeah, that's what we're going to get into for this week. We're going to kick it off how we always do, and that's with the question of the week. This week's question of the week is it harmless to have a work wife or work husband? If anybody here works in any type of job, I'm sure you've heard the term. You might even have one yourself. Is it harmless? I got a response from Instagram from Miss Fearless 2020. She said it's either a work friend with boundaries or nothing. So I guess that means she's not feeling the term, I guess. Work husband, work wife. She said work friend with boundaries or nothing. Okay, I feel you. For me personally, I feel it can be harmless for sure. I think it just, you know, as long as it's like platonic, I think the people who have work wives or work husbands, it's basically just what I think is the people who, you know, you may be happy to have that shift with, right? When you know that they're going to be working with you, it's going to make your day go by better. Y'all talk all the time. Y'all might take lunch at the same time. You know, y'all just have that. Y'all the closest amongst anybody else in that office or in that store or wherever, you know, it's that person that you really rock with. You probably tell secrets to even or something, you know, it's just that person you feel real comfortable and close with. So I feel like as long as it's like platonic and, you know, ain't no funny business going on, then yeah, it's absolutely harmless. I've had my fair share. I could think of at least two jobs I've had in the past where people refer to me as they work husband. And it's just because I'm that dude. I mean, at the end of the day, nah, I'm just, we were cool like that. And even to this day, you know, you remain friends with a lot of people you work with, right? So I'm still friends with a lot of people. And even to this day, I'll see a comment on my Facebook or something from somebody that I used to work with, and they'll refer to me as their husband or something. It's like, it's harmless to me. And I don't know if these women had like husbands at the same time or boyfriends or whatever, but you know, it was harmless. So yeah. Is it harmless to have a work wife or husband? I say yes. Someone says, say that to TJ Holmes and Amy Robach. Yeah, I mean, if you cross the line, you cross the line. And it could get there. It could go there, you know. But I think in general, it's harmless. If I get any more responses throughout the show, if you even want to answer, you can hit up at Hollywood and Friends on Instagram or at Hampton Blue Network on Instagram and comment in the comment section. Let us know, is it harmless to have a work wife or work husband? Someone said, like, to see a husband he cool with. Wait, like, to see a husband he cool with their wife calling another man. Wait. Oh, I'm reading responses right now. To see a husband be cool with their wife calling another man her husband. Hell no, they say. Okay. Let's get ready to get into what's hot in these blogs. First things first, what's hot in these blogs? Let's kick it off with Monica calling out Ray J for speaking on her name. She basically told Ray J, keep my name out your mouth. Nah, it wasn't that serious, but it all started with Monica was on Instagram Live one day, just, you know, doing what Monica do, talking to her fans. And Ray J was in the comment section, and he had this bright brainstorm idea to put together a Monica and Brandy tour. He wants to see it happen. He figure, who else to get this to happen than to go through the source itself? So he was in Monica's comment section in her live, like Brandy Ray J tour, something along those lines. He kept writing it over and over and over in the thing. And, you know, people read in the comment section during the live. So people like, oh, you know what? That might be a good idea. Like, yeah, I would go see that. I would go see that. We should make that happen. And innocent enough, right, to have that be the case. But then now Ray J starts doing interviews and he starts really speaking on this idea that he has. And it almost started having people like think it's really a thing and started, I guess, looking at Monica as possibly the reason why it's not happening. Meanwhile, this is just an idea that Ray J has. So once Monica started getting hit up about it, she started getting questions about it. She's on tour right now with Nicki Minaj, by the way, sidebar. And I think that's probably what made Ray J get this idea. So Monica took to her Instagram and she said the following. She said, I've been repeatedly contacted about interviews, etc., where my name and tour possibilities are being discussed. I've never received any contracts or calls about said tour. She said, hold on, I lost my part where I was reading. She said, I've not received any contracts or calls about said tour. Ray J, I'm kindly asking you to stop speaking on me in public. A private conversation would be both necessary and respectful. Brandy is a legend. She is one of one with an extensive catalog that I deeply respect. She said a bunch of other stuff, but basically in a nutshell, she was saying, you know, stop just having interviews about this because you're kind of making people feel like this thing is happening. She said her and Brandy are both professionals. She's open to the idea, but she needs it to happen the proper way. And the next conversation, she says, should be in private. Call her up, contact the lawyers, whoever you got to do to get it to happen officially the right way in private. And then you could start talking about it publicly. And once that happened, Ray J apologized to Monica. And as far as I know, it's all good in the hood. And I mean, Monica's right. You should definitely go through the proper channels to make something like this happen. You kind of build this anticipation for something that may not never happen. And I don't know if Ray J wanted to do this publicly to try to get the people on board, to like the public on board who are fans of both Brandy and Monica, to try to get them on board to like kind of pressure the situation into becoming reality. But yeah, Monica said, keep my name out your mouth. Nah, it's all good. It's all good. I think Monica handled it the right way. She didn't say anything like, you know, disrespectful of me. She gave Brandy her praise. She respects Brandy. She just saying like, yo, let's do this the right way and stop. Keep bringing me up in these interviews. So, yeah. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. Someone said it should be called The Tour Is Mine. That's a clever name. Would you go see this Brandy and Monica tour? I definitely would. I think Brandy is definitely one of them ones for sure. And Monica, she's a legend in the R&B game. So yeah, they both are. It would make sense, in other words. So we'll see if it actually takes place. But yeah, let's move on. What else are we talking about? Let's talk about Beyonce and her announcement and the reveal of the Cowboy Carter album cover. It features Beyonce on a white horse. She's holding an American flag. She got a sash on that says Cowboy Carter. And Beyonce is not one to write Instagram captions when she posts her post on there, but she has some things to say this time when she posted this album cover. She said, Act Two, Cowboy Carter, 329. She said, today marks the 10-day countdown until the release of Act Two. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of the supporters of Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages. I feel honored to be the first Black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. That would not have happened without the outpouring of support from each and every one of you. She said, my hope is that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will be irrelevant. She said, this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed. And it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating our musical history. She said, the criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act Two is a result of challenging myself and taking time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. She said, I have a few surprises on the album and have collaborated with some brilliant artists who I deeply respect. I hope that you can hear my heart and soul and all the love and passion that I poured into every detail and every sound. She said, I focused on this album as a continuation of Renaissance. I hope this music is an experience creating another journey where you can close your eyes, start from the beginning, and never stop. This ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album. This is Act Two, Cowboy Carter, and I'm proud to share with y'all. And a few key takeaways from that. A lot of people feel this was a powerful statement. For one, because she mentioned how she hopes that years from now, the mention of an artist's race as it relates to releasing genres of music will be irrelevant because, you know, you hear first Black country this or Black singer this. So she wants that to be irrelevant. And then the fact that saying a country album is it's a Beyonce album. So she is the genre, in other words, not, but a lot of people feel that way. And yeah, that also that moment that she spoke about where this album was birthed from, where she felt unwelcome, that experience, that is dating back to the 2016 CMAs, back when Beyonce put out her Lemonade album. She had a song on there called Daddy Lessons. And then she ended up doing a remix of it with the Dixie Chicks. I think they called the Chicks now solely, but yeah, she did a remix with them. And they performed on the CMAs. And when that announcement was made that Beyonce was going to be one of the performers on the CMAs, they received tons of backlash. They received tons of letters and calls and everything of people not wanting Beyonce to perform on the CMAs. And they went on to perform. And apparently, this, the way the ratings work, apparently what I learned is they're able to figure out the ratings in 15 minute increments of the show. Like when people tune in, tune out, turn the channel, et cetera. And during that part, when Beyonce was performing with the Dixie Chicks, it was the highest ratings that the CMAs has ever gotten. So people was tuned in. People, Beyonce is Beyonce at the end of the day. She's gonna get the people to watch. So despite the backlash, it was the highest section of the show to be viewed. And even afterwards, apparently the performance was uploaded to, like, you know, they uploaded to like the YouTube channels or their websites, and they received so much backlash from the racists. That's all I could say, charge it to the racists who were against it. They received so much backlash that they ended up pulling down the performance. And then, of course, the Hive had to start hiving. The Beehive started voicing their disapproval of that. And they ended up putting it back up, the performance. But it was this whole big ordeal. Even one of the members of the Dixie Chicks, Natalie Maines, she spoke out about it and said that that experience was uncomfortable and awkward. She said the energy in the room was not good. And I'm sure they felt it. I'm sure Beyonce felt it. You couldn't really tell on stage when they was performing that song, but you could feel energy, you know? And she said it was disgusting. That's the word she used, Natalie Maines. And she said the criticism Beyonce faced was disgusting. And I agree. And it's like, for what reason at the end of the day? So with that, Beyonce said, hold my beer. And she went and created this body of work that some felt country. And Beyonce, from what I'm taking from her caption, is bigger than that, is more than that. And it's gonna probably be like a fusion of genres. And she's there was an article I read that said that Beyonce's new album isn't a foray into country music, it's a homecoming. And that part, because I spoke about this a few weeks ago with the origins of country music, when it comes to the banjo and how that instrument was comes from Africa, and a lot of the techniques and style that is what's known as country music today derived from Black people. So yeah, it's very much a homecoming. And these surprises that Beyonce speak of, that she says she has on the album, is I'm sure she tapped into a lot of the uncredited voices from that time, and to give them that recognition and that shine that they should have always had. She's probably collaborated with a lot of like legendary Black country artists who may not be that known and where they should be that known. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this brings about. And I'm also looking forward to seeing how it is received by like the CMAs and those type of award shows. Cause if it is a country sounding album, will they give it its recognition? Will they nominate it? Will she be there to even accept said nomination if she were to get nominated? Will she perform again? Like all of these things, I'm curious to see if that happens, like in the future, you know, after it's out and all of that good stuff. But Cowboy Carter next week on actually this coming Friday, the 29th. So yeah. We'll see what happens with it. Fast shots to Beyonce though, for always, you know, trying to change the game and set standards and make music with like a purpose. And yeah, I'm here for it. All right, let's move on. What else is hot in these blogs? Let's go into the political aspect of things. So the there's a governor in Alabama, Kay Ivey, I believe her name is. She recently signed the bill that will restrict the teaching of divisive concepts, she says, and to limit diversity. So this bill is to restrict diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in schools, universities, and government agencies. The bill's definitions of divisive concepts includes teaching that any race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin is inherently superior or inferior. The legislation also states that public colleges and universities must require students to use. Now, that part is not important. I'm not even going to include that part. We're focusing on DEI is what it's known as, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And she said, my administration has and will always continue to value Alabama's rich diversity. However, I refuse to allow a few bad actors on college campuses or wherever else for that matter to go under the acronym of DEI using taxpayer funds to push their liberal political movement counter to what the majority of Alabamians believe. In other words, she wants to not teach history. The country is what it is. America is what America is. Whatever happened in the past happened. So y'all trying to basically erase that, not acknowledge that, not teach younger generations or even anybody to not teach them about diversity and inclusion in our past in this country. And that's in a nutshell what I gathered from that. She said I refuse to allow a few bad actors on college campuses. I guess professors, like what? That wants to teach about diversity and inclusion. She's referring to them as bad actors. She's not the first, she's not the only, and she's probably not going to be the last. They already are trying to ban critical race theory. I'm reading that 44 states since January of 2021 have introduced bills that aim to ban critical race theory or otherwise suppress teachings about race. Anti-DEI laws have been passed in 18 of those states. Actually, Alabama might make 19 now. It might even be more than that. And it's disgusting. It's crazy to me that y'all want to sweep America's past under the rug. And it's like, it happened. Take accountability, take ownership of it. Is no harm in teaching future generations about what went down in the country. And maybe it won't be repeated if that's the case. If we are allowed to do it, it's like, are y'all that ashamed at what America has done? Y'all that embarrassed by y'all actions that we don't want to speak about that no more? Like, Don't bring that up again. Like that's what is given when y'all try to like restrict certain things from taking place in school. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of wild. It's also worth noting that 45, AKA the last guy that occupied the White House, I learned just earlier that one of his first orders of business when he got in the White House was he signed an executive order banning DEI trainings in federal workplaces, including our nation's military. That was one of his first orders of business. Biden, once he got in office, one of his first orders of business was to reverse that, which he did. But it's just, is I don't know, it's disappointing. And yeah, something got to give when it comes to that. Because we already got, you got social media where there's a lot of like misinformation about things. And you would expect that people should be able to learn the true history in schools, in books. And then you got states that's trying to like restrict that or ban that. And yeah, it's disappointing to say the least. So yeah, we'll see how this plays out. America is just being America at the end of the day there. I guess that whole term, make America great again, is make America what it, as make America white again, I guess. Make America not see color. Oh no, they always seen color. I don't know. That make America forget their history again. I don't know. We got to do better though. That's all I can say. What else? Oh, speaking of that, before I move on from that, I just learned too today that according to the 2024 World Happiness Report, it's revealed that America dropped from the top 20 happiest countries for the first time ever. I didn't even know such a list existed, but there's a list that shows the happiest countries on earth, and America has fallen out of the top 20 for the first time in 12 years, it says. The United States ranked number 23. They say it's a significant drop from its previous position of number 15, which is still not good. And based on what I was just talking about, we understand why. But yeah, it dropped out of the top 20 happiest countries for the first time. It's because y'all on some bullshit. Nah. Yeah, if you're curious to know, Finland is the number one for the happiest country in the world, and it has been for the past 7 years. I need to do some research on Finland and see what's making them so happy. Maybe we need to plan a trip to go visit Finland. Like, what are y'all doing over there that has y'all the happiest country in the world? That's just the Finland. In America, get y'all shit together. But yeah, let's move on. What else hot in these blogs? Staying in a political tip. Letitia James, which is New York's Attorney General, she took the first steps to seize Trump's assets. And these new documents were filed in Westchester County, and it shows that they are going after his Seven Springs estate and golf course, just to name two of the things. I think I read something about Mar-a-Lago too. I don't know if that's regarding this case or just what that was about, but I think Mar-a-Lago might be included, might be up for grabs if your boy don't pay what he's supposed to pay. So if you're unfamiliar, it was ruled that the Trump Organization and top executives, including two of Trump's sons, Eric and Donald Jr., were found liable for fraud and after conspiring to alter Trump's net worth and for tax and insurance benefits. And the judge ordered them to pay $464 million plus interest in total. Because he's a con man. And so now he has to come up with that, or at least a bond, I believe, for like a certain percentage of it. And he has to do that by Monday, March 25th. So pending when you're watching this or listening to this, by Monday, March 25th, he has to come up with this bond, or the attorney general is able to seize them assets. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. Like, yeah, hold him accountable for being the crook he is, that the crook that's still able to run for president right now, which is nuts to me. Someone said, good, take the toupee as well. The internet is a funny place, I tell you. Funny place. Someone said, if someone had a pending charge, they couldn't even get a job in a school. Why is he allowed to run for president? That part. Someone said, people in New York been knew Donald was a menace. The rest of the country is just late as F. Man. So yeah, I think I read something that said he doesn't have the bond. His lawyers admitted that he could not secure a full appeals bond due to lack of cash on hand, despite his diligent efforts, they say. They were asking if the court would accept an $100 million bond instead. Like, nah, we need all that. Show me all that. Run that. Or run that golf course. And the toupee, like that commenter said. So yeah, that's happening. Right now, we'll see how this plays out, if those assets are seized. I think they had a GoFundMe or something like that, trying to get up this money. We'll see. Maybe his delusional supporters will fund his bond for him. Put your money where your mobs are. But yeah, we're gonna move on. What else we talking about? Let's talk about Carly Russell. Carly Russell, who was the young lady who made the 911 call, said she seen a baby walking on the side of the road, and she went to help, and then she was never to be heard from again for a few days, that is. And people, it was this whole massive search. It went viral. Everybody on social media, everybody in mainstream media was invested. They called the dogs out. They called everybody they could call out. A lot of resources was used to try to find Carly Russell. Where's this girl? Where's this baby that she's seen on the side of the road? And it turns out she made it all up. She made it all up, faked her own kidnapping, and she was in the woods somewhere eating Cheez-Its. And she was charged for it. I forget the exact charges that she faced, but she was found guilty of it. And sentencing day just happened a few days ago. She faced jail time. I can't remember how much jail time she was facing, but the judge decided that he's gonna let her off the hook semi-easy. She received instead a judgment of a one-year probation and ordered to pay nearly $18,000 in restitution. And when I first heard this, I'm like, good. Because I don't feel what she did was a jail matter. I feel the fine is more appropriate. Like y'all say, she wasted resources and et cetera. Pay that back. We had to send the troops out. We had to call on all these people to go look for you. Pay that back. That's more appropriate than jail. I don't think putting her in jail would have been the right thing to do. Like, jail should be reserved for real criminals who are dangers to society. That's not Carly Russell. So I agree. And I'm happy that she avoided jail and take that year probation, which means you can't do no effed up things for the next year and pay that bread. That's more appropriate. So I agree with the judgment. And hopefully she learned her lesson. I don't even know if it was ever really revealed why she did what she did. There was rumors about things, but I don't think it was officially said from her why she did what she did. So hopefully you learned your lesson. Hopefully you got a good job to get up this $18,000. Or, yeah. Or they might be seizing your assets next. Nah, but yeah, that's that. Last but not least, I think this is last but not least. Oh no, actually, is one other thing I want to talk about before I get into last but not least. I actually meant to mention this when we were talking about Beyonce and the announcement of her new album, and why Erykah Badu is hot in these blogs for some feel shading or being shady towards Beyonce. So Beyonce posted this picture of her in like a sash, and she has these braids with beads. And Erykah Badu shared the picture on her Instagram stories and just wrote, And people took that as shade because this is not the first time that Erykah Badu says something about Beyonce. During her Renaissance tour, Beyonce wore this silver hat, like the silver top hat, and it sits real high. Erykah Badu had on, if not the same hat or a similar hat, and Erykah Badu posted the Beyonce picture then and said, I guess I'm everyone's stylist. And it was this whole internet thing about Erykah Badu and Beyonce and stuff like that. So now for Beyonce to post this picture with these braids, Erykah to share this picture and write, it's like, here we go again. And people are charging it to the fact that Erykah Badu has worn similar braids in the past. So in a nutshell, she's saying Beyonce is like biting her style, I guess. So the internet is gonna internet, and Beyonce's fan base, the Beehive, is gonna hive. They're gonna buzz and sting anybody who try to say anything about Queen Bee. So they did just that. They started going in on Erykah, calling her out. And Erykah actually went to Twitter, and she sent the message to Jay-Z. She said to Jay-Z, "Say something, Jay. You gonna let this woman and these bees do this to me?" With a laughing emoji. I think Erykah is trolling. Even when I first saw the post with her saying, I was like, nah, she gotta be trolling at this point. Like, cause there's no way she's being for real. And when seeing this post with her saying to Jay-Z, "Say something, Jay, you're gonna let this woman and these bees do this to me," I find it to be funny. I don't take it serious at all. I think she's trolling. I don't know if she's being serious. I hope she's not being serious, but I take it as a joke. But we'll see. We'll see. People are not finding it funny. Beyonce's publicist even posted a post about it because she's not finding it funny either. She posted a video that showed a bunch of clips of Beyonce in different braids throughout her career. And the caption said, she slays now, then, always. # critics without credentials. And so, yeah, not everybody's finding it funny. I think it's trolling, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think she's being serious. I guess time will tell. Someone said there's always some truth, and even when someone is being funny. Someone saying she did look like Erica, LOL. People inspired. Probably inspired. Yeah, that's a fact. There definitely is always some truth in it. So, yeah. People not finding it funny, though, clearly. The fans are not finding it funny. Beyonce's publicist isn't finding it funny, which I think is a little odd, right? Because they don't usually comment on stuff like that. I've never seen a post from Beyonce's publicist that was like anything outside of like a professional magazine or some, you know, things publicists do. So yeah, it's getting serious. Nah, Beyonce has yet to say anything about it, but the way Beyonce does, she don't usually say anything like directly. We might hear her say something in a song later on down the line during a performance or something. She does like these like responses that aren't just like your typical response. She'll rap about it or sing about it later on or something. We'll hear. But yeah. I feel like everybody, like people was pointing out, Erykah Badu isn't the first person to rock that hairstyle. And everybody's inspired by somebody at some point. So even if she is inspired, like, I don't know if Erykah is being serious, I don't know if she expect B to like give her like credit or something to say like, I got this from, I saw this look Erykah Badu had and I thought it was dope, so I wanted to include it. Yeah, I don't know what the goal is. I still think Erica's trolling. Still think Erica's trolling. But yeah. Let's move on. Last but not least, this is actually going to tie into my What Blows Mind for this week. What Blows Mind is the part of the show where I say what gets under my skin, what irks my nerves. What's that thing people do that just have me like, bruh, really? This week, a part of my What Blows Mind and what was hot in these blogs is Candace Owens. Candace Owens was on The Breakfast Club. She did an interview with The Breakfast Club. And I don't know, I kind of found it like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, odd. I don't know. I guess they want to give anybody the floor with The Breakfast Club. I guess they want to, like, you know, no matter what your viewpoint is, they want to give them a platform to spew that, I guess. But if you are even a little familiar with Candace Owens, my issue I have is Candace always saying some like greasy things about Black people, and it seemed like it's always almost only targeted towards Black people, the Black family, Black women, Black men. Anything that's going on in the media, anything that's going on, if it's showing Black people in a bad light, Candace is on it and she's speaking about it and she's like trying to like, I don't even know how to put it, but she's always saying something sideways about Black people. She's never given that energy when it comes to things that white people do. And it's for that reason why I don't respect her, and I will never respect anything she has to say. I don't care what the political views are. Just for that reason alone, I can't respect you. You got to keep that same energy about everybody. You can't attack the people that look like you and solely attack the people that look like you is not good. So to see her on The Breakfast Club and I'm giving her this platform to be able to like spew this rhetoric that a lot of it is not even, hasn't even been fact checked, it kind of blew mine. One of the things they brought up, though, they asked her why, with her always speaking about the Black family, why she decided to marry a white man. And Candace's response, in a nutshell, without actually saying the words, she basically said that Black men aren't smart enough for her. In so many words, that's exactly what Candace Owens was saying. Black people aren't smart enough for her. She was basically saying that you marry your IQ. And she was saying that people would be surprised at the things that she reads, the things that she's into, and she's always go, go, go with her, with information. And she said it was hard to find somebody who could match that, in a nutshell. I call BS, but that's what Candace said. She said it's hard to find somebody to match that. And she said the reason she married her husband is because he's one of the most brilliant men she's ever met, or something like that. And when you watch that clip from the interview, and actually, I'm gonna try to pull up exactly what she said. All right, so Candace, when asked about why she decided to marry a white man, like I was saying, she said everything except Black people aren't intelligent enough for her. She said, I'm a very curious, interested person. She said, the stuff that I talk about is always based on my experience. What else she said? She said, I think the greatest thing ever when people come together on the basis of who they love and get married, I never thought of my husband as a race. I married the person it made the most sense for me to marry. She talked about how brilliant her mind is. She said she needed a partner that can handle that. She said, I have a mind that is just, if you even knew half the things I'm thinking about, the stuff that I'm reading, just go, go, go all the time. It was difficult for me to find a partner that was a challenge to me, the challenge that I needed. Whether you want to say an academic challenge or whatever it is, with my same interests, it just was. She said, people tend to marry their IQ. I fell in love with my husband just because I think he is one of the most brilliant people ever. She said, I want every person to never allow race to be a barrier to you finding love. Yeah. Both BS. It's just BS. And when you watch the full clip of her speaking about this particular thing and why she decided to marry a white man, despite always talking about the Black family, and she was dancing around that answer. And like I said, saying everything except Black men weren't smart enough for her. Like, there are no smart Black men. Like, really? Really? Someone says she's a narcissist and insecure all at the same time and seeking approval, probably from the group that bullied her growing up. And that is actually true. And that's another part that I wanted to bring up. Someone from Instagram, Isaac Hayes III, he said about the Breakfast Club and anybody interviewing Candace, he said, next time you interview Candace Owens, ask her why she never voted until 2018. So why does her opinion on anything political matter? He said, furthermore, when she was a senior at Stanford High, she was threatened and harassed by white bullies that said they were going to shoot her in the back of her head and called her the N-word. The NAACP came to her defense, and after all that, she turns on the Black community. She's an ungrateful nobody. And he posted the picture of her from her high school days with the NAACP behind her. I guess they were doing a press conference or whatever. And she said, speaking of that time, she said about the white bullies, she said, they started off by telling me that they were going to unalive me just because I was Black. They warned me that if they found me at home, they were going to unload a bullet in the back of my head. They cited other N-words that had died before me, like MLK and Rosa Parks. They threatened to tar and feather my family. And it's like, I don't know, what's your mindset? If you can't beat them, join them or something? Because like, the way she speak about Black people to this day, and maybe she just don't like the fact that she's Black. But it's like, it is crazy to me. It's crazy. You bully by racists, and I don't know, that trauma just like triggered this thing in you to now like do the exact thing that they did to you, and to never look back on your Blackness or something. I don't know. Can't call it. Someone says she is a pawn. Someone said the only thing that makes her relevant is that she is a prop by racists to be the token Black that will act like she was never victimized by racists. That part. Yeah, I don't respect you. I don't respect anything she has to say either. But yeah, that blows mine. And that concludes what's hot in the blogs for this week. Going to get ready to wrap this thing on up. In the meantime, in between time, be sure to follow the podcast page, the radio show page, at Hollywood and Friends on Instagram, at Hollywood and Friends Radio. No, facebook.com/Hollywood and Friends Radio. And you can email us, HollywoodandFriendsRadio@gmail.com. Follow me on social media at I Am Hollywood, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you're on TikTok, at I Am Hollywood NY. And follow my producer, Stacy, over here at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And hit up YouTube if you want to see us, youtube.com/HamptonBlue. We're going to get ready to wrap this thing on up. Appreciate you for listening, however you're listening. Until next time, we out. Deuces.
Let me show you off, take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. We could go to Paris, let me show you the lavish. Ain't no need to pack, we can shout where we landed. Get you well established, upgrading your status. Then we hit the Eiffel for dinner when you famished. We could go to Spain, Barcelona, Senorita. I'll show you a buen momento. And we don't gotta rush a thing, despacito. Just wanna spend my time contigo, tigo.
So I'm gonna want true beauty, yeah. And is that the finest thing all around the world? Yeah, no hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be my girl. So I'm gonna want true beauty, yeah. And is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be my
girl. Come on now, come on. Let me show you walk, take off no matter the cost. Take off. Come on now, come on. Let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Take you on a cruise to the carnival, Barbados, crop over yo, yeah. Or Trinidad, Tobago too. We got island hop like we kangaroos. We could go to Jamaica, hit Ocho Rios, lounge with the locals, eat like the people. Hey. Island tings, one punch in mojito, then watch the sunset from a gazebo. Zebo.
Coast to coast, grand banana. Hey. Jamaica, the land where we wanna. She take a pull on for me marijuana. Yeah. She then yeah, she know I'm creating the drama. Hey. No. African queen girl. Take a trip in a my ride. Your body clean like this brand. Yeah. Let me take your pan to a girl.
What you mean you just got this passport? She only got one stamp in it. Let's change that.
So I'm a one. True beauty and desire.
Come on now, let me show you off. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Hey.